Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, an entire hour with Spencer Mozingo, who runs the amazing Men's Summit at Turning Point USA. Drop what you are doing. And if you are a young man and you want to have your life changed, you have to come to the Men's Summit. It's tpfaith.com/men's. This will change your life. There is no excuse not to go unless if you just want to keep being, I don't know, you could fill in the blanks. tpfaith.com/men's. If you have a man in your life, send them to this. They are going to love it. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpfaith.com/men's. That's the only thing you're going to hear from me on this episode, tpfaith.com/men's. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is the director of our men's summit. We just call it the summit at Turning Point USA.
Yes, thank you, Charlie, for having me.
You bet. Spencer Mozingo. Spencer, introduce yourself.
So, been through every aspect of life that you could go through trying to find out what true masculinity is. I grew up in a fatherless home. I went through the lifelong fixing of that, the abandonment and the quit culture that is taught in that. I joined the Marine Corps, did 12 years in the Marine Corps. And when I retired from the Marine Corps, there was something tugging at my soul, like I had a greater purpose that I needed to fulfill, and that's to help other men find their masculine heart. And that's what brought us here.
And Spencer doesn't talk about it much, but you are a wounded veteran, and you got your leg blown off, and you haven't let that stop you. I know you don't like talking about it, but I think it's an important part of your biography, and you don't let it be part of your biography, which I find to be admirable. And so then you left the Marine Corps, you kind of got working into private security detail, correct? And you kind of came into our circle, and we were driving last summer, and you basically were like, we need to do a men's summit. And I was like, Spencer, I've thought about it. What would be different? And you had a great answer. And then the Lord works in mysterious ways. One of our donors loved the idea. And I said, let's pilot it. And you guys did two pilots this last fall. Tell us about it.
We did. So we did a pilot in Montana and we did a pilot in Texas. The first group, we took 20 men between the ages of 16 and I think the oldest we had there was 54. Up to Grass Range, Montana, lots of elevation. And we put them through probably the hardest 72 hours of their life they would ever experience. Over the 3 days, they maybe got 8 hours of sleep, less than 2,000 calories for the 3 days. They walked over 70 miles, and not one person left there complaining. For the simple reason that they got to see what they were made of. They had a challenge and it was extremely hard and most of them wanted to quit in the moment, but they weren't given the opportunity to quit and they rose to it and they left different men. And to this day, you know, that was August of last year. Mm-hmm. We're still seeing the results of that.
I want to talk more about the amount of planning and the amount of study you put in to develop what really could be called as a curriculum, which is a multi-day immersion experience. But we have another men's summit coming up at Turning Point USA, and that is in February, right? And there are spots available, but you have to go through an application process, and the interest is off the charts. And if people are interested, we're going to talk about this throughout our conversation. It's tpfaith.com/men's, correct?
Correct.
And there's just a form, fill it out, and our team will be in touch with you. And so talk about, you know, just kind of some of the philosophy, because the men's summit is different than other summits we do at Turning Point USA. No big stages, right? No massive speakers. No, you've said from the beginning, we have to put these men in the wild. We have to challenge them. What's the importance of challenge when trying to develop young men?
Well, we have to strip down all the luxuries, first of all. We have to get them out of their comfort zone. We have to get away the technology. We have to keep them away from the carnal pleasures and get them back to basically what a man is. And that's stripping them down to I am made of something. I have a purpose. I need to figure out what that is. And it's most often found through challenge. You can find great things through success, but you find a lot more out about yourself through struggle, and failure and everything else. And they get both. They get a lot of struggle and they get a lot of failure. No one can go through the summit and say, oh, I didn't fail anything, because it's hard. It's created to fail. It's created for them to be broken down and see that they are not A, great at everything. And for reasons, because they're in teams. The team and the strong individual thing often gets misunderstood. We think, oh, I've got to be a part of a strong team, but I can be a weak individual in that strong team and they'll just carry me through. What we're trying to create is strong individuals who can go into a team and pull their weight and be a better asset to that team than if they weren't.
And so one of the things that you intentionally try to do is you want to break them, but in a confine or in a context where they then can rebuild themselves to a higher purpose, correct?
Yeah, we want to strip them down, I think would be a better way of putting it. We want to take away their defense systems. The, oh, I can do this because I've seen it on a video game and I've been capable of doing that. Or I work out at the gym 45 minutes. I can handle anything. We got a lot of that. Ego gets in the way. Mm. So by reducing the calories and putting them through these intense physical evolutions helps strip away those comfort zones. Think about the word hangry. When people say they're hangry, yep, they're getting in an adverse mood because of lack of food. This is hangry just times 1,000. When people get tired, their mood changes. So we're adding all of that together. And by the third day, when they think that they have nothing left to give, is when they truly start to shine and they start to see what they're capable of.
And I would imagine one of the things you have learned by just putting this on a little bit, I mean, you knew it beforehand, is we are far tougher than we think we are.
100%. You know, most of our capabilities are limited by our thoughts and our doubts and our fears. And I think a lot of that ties into the social media revolution as well. It's because we started seeing all these fitness gurus on social media saying, oh, I can do this, you can. And people really started, you know, dumping on themselves and stopped trying to be great. I was reading a book the other day, and it was talking about how men are so eager to put another man's last name on their back and look at them as a superhero and idol, especially with the sports culture. Mm-hmm. Why not wear a jersey that has your own name and push yourself to be great?
If you were to define masculinity, let's just say properly develop masculinity, how would you do that?
Balance. I think it comes into a lot of balance. Man that exhibits true masculinity, he has to be strong and sensitive at the same time. He has to be able to discipline and understand. He has to be able to give grace. He has to know when to talk and know when to listen, and the latter being the most important. I think masculinity has gotten such a bad tone because there is, you know, what you would call toxic masculinity, people who have taken it too far because they lack masculinity as a general.
So what would that, let me interrupt, what would that be? Would that just be inability to control your aggression, overbearing physicality? They call it toxic masculinity, but there are times when you don't possess self-control or discipline.
Correct.
Would that be?
I would say it is mainly the control issue, not knowing how to A, control your emotions, control that aggression, seeing yourself as superior to someone else based off of just how you can act. But masculinity as its raw form is great.
It's also necessary.
Very necessary.
What happens if a culture gets too feminine?
Things will start to shut down. You can look at anything around it and you can find a strong man. Buildings are being built by strong men. Battles are being fought by strong men. And don't get me wrong, there's strong women out there too. I just don't talk about anything with women because I've never been one and I don't ever plan on being one. So it's not my right to tell them what they are. But I have 6 daughters. But I can tell you, those 6 daughters are going to know what a real man is and what real masculinity is. And it's my job to make sure that men see that because they're looking for husbands someday.
Yeah. And I mean, a society needs to be balanced between the masculine and the feminine. And we are lectured about what happens when societies get quote unquote too masculine. You get Hitler, you get Mussolini, you get Mao. Why don't we ever talk about what happens when a society gets too feminine? And that could be equally as dystopian, by the way, equally as dysfunctional, equally, if not greater, in its chaos. And the scales have tipped so far in the hyper-feminine direction that it's laced in our language, in our literature, of hyper-emotive focus, of very focused on not duty and sacrifice, but your own state of mind. I'm not saying that is exclusively feminine, but that is certainly more feminine than it is masculine in its proper context. And so then society starts to get off kilter. And when you get off kilter, you try to seek equilibrium. And so far, society has struggled to do that. Spencer Mozingo is here. Please check out our men's summit. It is tpfaith.com/men's. Spots are available. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Why do I tell you about Balance of Nature every single day? It's really quite simple. Balance of Nature is real food. It's real science and it's real nutrition. I take it every day. It's so easy. 31 whole fruits and veggies in a capsule. I know a lot of people who take supplements and formulated nutrition packs, but Balance of Nature goes right to the source. Real fruits and veggies, all that nutrition captured with their advanced vacuum cold process, packed in a capsule and sent to your doorstep. I give my body what it needs because feeling great is important to me. Getting good daily nutrition is the foundation of all aspects of good health. And that is why you hear me talking about Balance of Nature on my show. Shipping is always free, but don't forget to get a 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code Charlie when you go to balanceofnature.com. You can order by phone by calling 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. They're a terrific product. I take it every day. Check it out. Balanceofnature.com, discount code Charlie. Balanceofnature.com, discount code Charlie. Register right now to the Turning Point USA Men's Summit at tpfaith.com/men's. That's tpfaith.com/men's. Let's play Cut 31, which is just a little taste from the pilots of the Men's Summit put on by Spencer and his team. Play Cut 31.
Masculinity, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, is harmful.
Now in 2022, masculinity is being redefined.
Toxic masculinity. The gist, masculinity is poison.
This is what men need. This is what young men need. This is what y'all need. We got to put the fire to these gentlemen because they will rise out of that ash. But if it wasn't hard, it wouldn't work.
What limit can we reach tomorrow? Mentally, physically, spiritually. And when you go home, you'll have all this stuff in your tool belt.
How is God breaking you now to prepare you for the future? Life is going to be hard. How is God using that? How is He breaking you to prepare you for your purpose?
We're going to do this a million times. This is number zero. Y'all are in the beginning group. We're going to do this forever.
Check it out at tpfaith.com/men's. So Spencer, I think it's fair to say that there is a war on masculinity.
Correct.
Why?
Because they're dangerous. If you have a man that is strong physically and mentally, and he's willing to stand up and take action, that could be dangerous if you're trying to cripple a society.
So do you think that there very well could be an agenda by the current regime that makes their aims and ambitions for totalitarianism easier if men become more like women?
100%. I think you're villainizing a gender or a masculine man just so he can't come out against you. If you say that a man is toxic masculinity because he doesn't tolerate homosexuality or trans or whatever, and then everybody starts to hate him, then he's the villain. He's no longer the hero. So in order for you to be the hero, you have to create a worse villain than you are, and that's what they're doing to current masculinity.
Walk us through some of the immediate consequences that we're seeing with the decline of masculinity.
Well, the first one is the fact that we have 500 genders. I think that the
that's a very interesting observation.
The identity crisis, because we said, okay, well, it's not okay to be a man anymore. So what am I supposed to be? Should I be a woman, or should I just not have a gender at all? That's become an issue. Second one is fatherless children. One in four kids in the United States is fatherless. That's no biological father, no stepfather being raised by a single mother.
Totally absent.
And that causes lots of issues.
And the number's higher if you count transient fathers, meaning ones that come in and out, but they're not stable.
Correct.
It's 50%+ if you count that.
And it's causing a lot of our issues. They're more likely to go to jail, more likely to drop out of school. The statistics for fatherless children is setting them up for failure. There's a good book out there called Tender Warrior by Stu Weber, and he kind of puts the four different pillars of a man's heart together of what a man truly is. Is a man needs to be a king, so he needs to lead his family. He needs to set the example. He needs to provide discipline when it's needed and love when it's needed. He needs to be a warrior. A warrior fights for what's right. He fights for that truth. He fights for the virtue. He doesn't back down just because somebody doesn't like it. The next one is the mentor. A man mentors other men. He teaches them in the way that they need to be. He's setting the example. And the last one is a friend. Is a man surrounds himself with other friends that are like-minded so they can keep each other accountable. And I think that's the key with our program is we're setting men up to discover what they are, but we're also providing avenues for them to be held accountable by each other.
And you go through each one of those. There is a deliberate campaign to deteriorate community.
Correct.
And adventure, that kind of call to adventure that men so desperately need. The first thing Abram heard from God is get up and leave, basically. Get out of your father's home and go into adventure. We're called for adventure, but also to develop families. And I want to talk about just some more of the societal carnage, which is the rise in suicide, depression, 107,000 drug overdoses last year. The vast majority are men. I mean, women do commit suicide. They are depressed, but they are a small percentage compared to the volume of men that are engaging in self-destructive and self-inflicted behaviors. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Spencer, why are so many young men killing themselves?
I think it comes down to what we were talking about earlier when it's the carnal pleasures versus other aspects of life. So we're always told to pursue happiness because happiness is going to make us happy. Find the things to make you happy, whether it's drinking, gambling, doing whatever you want. But that's not the case. What we should actually be seeking is true joy. And what brings joy as a man is doing those things we talked about, being a king, being a warrior, being a leader, having a wife, raising a family, teaching them what's right and what's wrong. That's what brings joy in life. And there's going to be struggles in there. We as men are taught now that we should be happy all the time. And if there's struggles, find a way to get out of it, whether it's with alcohol or if it's with drugs or if it's being promiscuous with other people or being unfaithful. Find that new happiness. Don't hang in there and fight for it.
And so you think, therefore, that sort of philosophical derailment from what built the West, then it ends with, I can't get enough pleasure to get me out of my pain, therefore I'll just kill myself.
That, and we lack problem-solving skills as men now because we've tried to shelter from the hard stuff. And that's exactly what we're doing at the summit. We're putting through intentional hard things to show men that they're strong enough to conquer anything. If you can make it through the summit, you can make it through anything in life. And everyone we've had has almost made it through the summit, other than people who just didn't want to be there. But men need that balance. They need to understand, I'm a man, life's going to be hard, I'm strong enough to get through it. But we also need to humble ourselves as men and say, you know what, if I need to talk to someone, it's okay. I don't need to turn to alcohol. I don't need to keep it internal. It's okay to have that balance like I was talking about earlier and just say something's not right. I should probably get this checked out.
Testosterone rates are down nearly 80% in the last 20 years. Why do you think that is?
Food, more than likely. Yeah. The food we're eating is, everything's GMO now. We shoved all of our meat with antibiotics. We've created vegetables that shouldn't be vegetables. We spray it with all kinds of stuff to make sure it lasts 15 days in the store. And then we wonder why everybody's sick.
Do you think there's any other factors? Do you think that basically relentlessly berating and beating young men, do you think that might play a role? Is there a societal or cultural factor, or is it just all, you think, biochemical?
I think the lazy culture could be a part of it as well, as we stopped doing the things that require testosterone, lifting heavy weights, running long distances, carrying weight, physical activity. So it stopped producing it as a society. I think that's more than acceptable to assume.
It's one of the great mysteries. I don't think it's much of a mystery, but let's just say it's a mystery of our time, and almost no one talks about it, about how testosterone rates in the 80s were 80% higher than they are today.
Right. I think nobody's talking about it because we don't want to talk about men's problems, because we don't want men. There's studies out there saying that men are not needed at all. And I were to assume that if they could find a way to complete the reproductive process without a man completely, they would try to kill all men.
You think that's part of the agenda?
I do. Because we don't want strong people who can stand up for what's right. Because that's an issue.
It makes totalitarianism far more simple. We were talking about the balance between the feminine and the masculine. The thing I hear from women all the time is, I can't find a strong man. They're all weak. They're cowards. They're addicted. It's not just men who want men to be strong. It's women that are asking the question, where are the strong men?
Yeah, because they want strong husbands and they want strong fathers for their kids. It's human nature. It's biological to want that. You don't want the guy who's going to sit there and play video games for 20 hours a day. But the feminists and others have villainized the male again to where everybody thinks that nobody wants a strong man. But that's not the case. And I think that it comes down to just needing to stand up for what's right and stand up for masculinity on both sides. Men need to stand up for masculinity, but so do the women that want it.
In your calculation, where does faith play a role in all of this?
From the beginning, creation. We were created in God's image. We were created a specific way. We were created as men. John Eldridge had a really good book probably 20-some years ago called Wild at Heart. It ties man into creation. And you'd be hard-pressed to find an individual who can go out into the wilderness and not be content.
And you, Michael Easter's touched on this in his book too, Comfort Crisis, that you recommended, and it won the book of the year for me, by the way, of all the books, out of 35 books I read, not a lot of books, because one of our team members said it wasn't a lot to read 35 books. So I only read 35 books, but it was the best book I read last year, where there is this inexplicable element to our species that needs to be in the wild, especially men.
Across multiple religions and even atheists, the naturalists, they all kind of agree on the same thing, that there's a connection between man and nature. There's healing aspects, there's peace aspects, and there's rejuvenation aspects. It was created for us to have dominion over all of it.
That's right. And we're not subservient or equal to nature.
No, we are not. We hold dominion over it. It's there for us. And that's why we need to spend more time in it. It brings us peace. It brings us struggles.
And humility.
It definitely can bring a lot of humility.
Yeah, the elements can be unforgiving.
Right. But if you expose yourself to enough tough elements, you become tougher, and those elements are no longer as tough.
Why is that very simple truism become so rare?
That is the end-all question. It's basic conditioning. You know, we look at it from a physical fitness aspect. We condition ourselves by running so that we can accomplish a specific task, but we don't apply it to general life. We don't condition ourselves to encounter hard times, because we are programmed to understand that everything's supposed to be easy. I'm supposed to have it my way. I'm mm-hmm. supposed to have it the Amazon way tomorrow without the work. But that's not the case. If you want something, you have to work for it. And if you want it that bad, you have to work for it that much harder.
And so many young men are lacking, they've never been taught the meaning of the word duty. What does duty mean to a man or a young man who has his life properly oriented?
It can mean multiple things. And this is one of those, I look at Israel's mandatory national service.
IDF.
And I think that it would be great for us as well, because it's that duty. It's, I have a distinct duty. My 12 years in the Marine Corps, I had a distinct purpose. I knew exactly what I had to do. I knew why I was doing it. September 11th happened when I was in ninth grade. That's why I joined the Marine Corps. And every day I was there, I never questioned what was my purpose in life until the day I left. And then for almost 5 years, I walked around wondering, why am I here? What is my goal in life? What is my duty? And it comes down to, back to the pleasures. Stop looking for the quick fix and start trying to find your purpose. Going back to it, God created the world for us and nature for us. He also created us with a distinct purpose, and we need to be trained to look for that. That's part of the programming at the summit, is helping men go on a path of discovering what they were made for.
And tell us some of those success stories of young men that have been transformed in the positive sense in that way.
So we've had men go back and have, I guess they would call them social media influencers. They started talking about real topics and standing up for truth. We've had men leave there and go back and be successful at their jobs, take on new careers, experience growth in their current professions. We've had guys leave there, go back to their church, take over men's groups, and are leading them to create authentic, masculine men's devotional groups at churches, based in doing hard things, talking about hard topics, standing up for what's right.
This is so lacking in our culture and in our country right now for so many different reasons. But, you know, when a young man is asking for his, what is my purpose, what's my place, this is really an interesting thing where modernity has given us more of everything except happiness and joy, everything. You know, our homes are twice as big, filled with twice as much junk, and they're half as big. The families are half as big. And this is the first generation that I believe in history has widespread institutional existential despair. It's never happened before. Why is that happening?
We've broken down like the society norms of the past. You know, there used to be a saying that it takes a community to raise a child. That was the same thing for everything else. You look at the different stages of masculinity, and I read this in a book, I can't remember which one, but it did a really good job of explaining it, is a man goes through multiple phases. He goes through that boyhood phase where he's looking for that attaboy from his father. And then he goes into kind of that warrior phase where he's looking for a battle to fight. Then he transitions into that lover stage where he's looking for a woman to fight that battle for. And then he goes into being the king, where he has the responsibility. And then he goes into the sage aspect. And I put a lot of emphasis on the sage, because that's when he takes all those life experiences and starts passing it down. We made these really big houses with these really tall fences so we didn't have to pass anything along to our neighbors or to our communities. We stopped being communities and started being individual families in a community. If we want to bring that back, we got to tear down the fences, not physically, but metaphorically. We have to start having conversations. Old men need to start talking to younger men, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. We need mentors, we need mentees, and we need to set the example for future generations.
It's such an incredible crisis. We're trying to do our part at Turning Point USA to go about solving it, or at least trying to remedy it. And again, people could check it out, tpfaith.com/men's. But it's more institutional, and I hate this word, but it's more systemic than I think people realize or are willing to recognize. It's the most suicidal, depressed, alcohol, and drug-addicted generation in history. And I don't hear enough people at all talk about it. They act as if this generation is lazy, entitled, and spoiled. It's like, well, maybe you guys handed down a country that's completely broken, and now you have 40 million people experiencing existential despair. Spencer, other thoughts you have about the philosophy that you are implementing at our Men's Summit?
It's essential. I think that's what it comes down to, Ed, is I firmly believe that 2023 is going to be the revival of the masculine heart. And that's where men are going to start to take a stand. And it's essential. In order for the country to be saved, the church needs to be saved. In order for the church to be saved, men need to stand up and start being men.
Have you noticed how feminine American churches have become?
Very. We've come into a real pandemic of skinny jeans and sweaters and whatnot at the church, and donut breakfasts for dads, and not enough masculine sport at the church. Not enough stuff to draw men. You know, I think it's like 1 in 3 women go to church on Sundays without their husband.
I believe that.
Because there's nothing appealing to the man. But we're going to fix that. We're going to change that. There's lots of options that the churches can do to get a man to want to be there.
Such as?
Such as hard things. And almost a lot of men will go to the gym every day of the week. Why not do something at your church that's physical that'll bring the men there? Most men will stop and help somebody in need. It's just something they feel tugging on their heart. Why not create an opportunity for your men to do that at your church? Why does everything have to be around donuts and reading books and talking about our feelings?
Circular conversations, right, about a devotional written by a woman, which is great for women.
Correct.
Men don't want to do that.
Correct. We have got to create programs that show men it's okay to be a warrior. It's okay to fight. It's okay to stand up for the truth. It's okay to have aggression. It's okay to use it in a proper way. It's okay to love fiercely. It's okay to do hard things. It's okay to be strong.
There are three types of people. There's infants. There's the defenders of infants and predators. And when your men do not become defenders of infants and they stay as infants, the predators are able to roam free.
Correct.
And we're living through part of that.
We are.
It's the man's responsibility to protect those that can't protect themselves and viciously go after the predators.
100%. But we've made them villains. We've got rid we've got rid of the masculine man. It's all part of an agenda to get rid of the men. When you don't have people standing in your way, it's easy to do whatever you want.
There's a lot of truth to that. Say that again. When you don't have people standing in your way, it's easy to do whatever you want.
Correct. 100%.
You can put that on a t-shirt.
Maybe we will.
That's the roadmap for authoritarianism right there.
It is.
No one's going to be in my way, aka men. So, I hate to get too deep into this, but I think it's totally right that if I was trying to control the world, I'd want testosterone rates to go down.
Yes. Why not do it through something that people eat every day with their food or water? Who knows what's in tap water anymore?
Yeah, we don't really know why the rates are going up, but we just don't know they are.
Right.
And so one of the goals that we have, and I know you have as you're spearheading this project, is we want to try to get thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men to reorient their life anchored in truth with courage, bravery, and duty.
Yes. And stand for action. It's one thing to go through the summit and experience this masculine awakening and just keep it for yourself and do self-improvement. But one of our biggest things is calling men to action. Go back and do something with it. Mentor other men. You know, find those young boys in your community that don't have a father and be a father to them. Show them the things they need to know. Show them what it is to be a man. Go stand up for what you believe in. Run for office. Go to church, say, hey, I want to start a men's group, and this is what it's going to look like. Most of the time, the answer will be yes, but men stopped taking the initiative, so then women had to step in and fill the positions.
And if I talk to a lot of women, they don't want to. They're more comfortable with most of these times having men do it. It's just the men are missing.
Correct. We were all created, man and woman, in their own way. And so those created things feel right. When we operate outside of those, we find that lack of joy or the lack of contentment, kind of with the purpose.
Yeah, the balance is out of whack, right? The equilibrium has been lost.
Yep. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I went into oil and gas and then a plastics company and started a nonprofit and failed at a nonprofit and every other thing because I was seeking fulfillment in what society told me was correct. I need to make a lot of money. I need to make some sort of status and then I would be happy. But never was I content until I started pursuing what I was created for. And this is what I was created for.
Yeah. In some ways, Spencer's purpose is to help young men find their purpose.
Right.
That's a big mission.
Yeah, it is.
tpfaith.com/men's. Spencer, we'll have you back on. We're going to keep promoting it. This is going to be one of the most popular things Turning Point does and one of the most important. And I got to tell you, the team, they take it super seriously. It's safe, but it's challenging. It's out in the wild. It is contained in a way that the young men in your life, or just men in general, if you're hearing this, if you want to challenge yourself and become a deeper person, go to tpfaith.com/men's. Spencer, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.